Welcome to today's episode of Watchable
with Bethy Hernandez
and Sophia Ritter.
Two cousins talk movies and TV.
Basically, if it's entertainment related, we got you covered.
Today we're discussing WandaVision.
Bethy, I know we are both so excited to talk about WandaVision. We are both major fans. I feel like we don't do Marvel stuff enough on our show, so.
Yeah, and I feel like part of that is because not a lot of Marvel content has came out recently, but I'm so excited that we're finally getting the content we deserve.
And we're finally about to have just an avalanche, what the heck is
that? Ooh, fancy.
Of new content coming our way, so. Our Marvel drought's definitely over, but before we completely launch into WandaVision and how much we enjoyed it, I want to wish you a happy International Women's Day because this comes out on International Women's Day. And because of that, we want to highlight some of our favorite female content creators instead of our typical media picks of the week. So who do you got for us, Bethy?
So I kind of chose this last minute, as Sophie knows. My favorite female content creator is Celine Sciamma. I think that's how you say pronounce her name. She is the director of several movies, such as Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which is, as Sophie knows, one of my favorite movies that she has not watched yet. That's the first one that came to mind, mainly because I'm doing a project on that movie right now.
I also have another female director, and I feel like this one's almost cliche because everyone always thinks of her right now because she's big right now. It's Greta Gerwig. Mm-hmm. And Lady Bird, her first movie, really got me more into independent film. Before that, I thought every one of those movies I watched, like, oh my God, it's so boring. But it made me really appreciate like smaller scale storylines. And all of her content in general has really great female characters. I loved her version of Little Women. And I thought it was like, I'm like, oh, Sophie, you can't say Greta Gerwig again. And then I realized I don't think I've ever really talked about her on this show besides when we did Little Women. So I actually had an excuse and I didn't realize I never had brought it up.
That's a good choice. And I feel like both our creators make movies about women's stories, if that makes sense. And I really like that. It's more representation.
It's women's stories, not just as one-dimensional characters.
Exactly.
In the typical problems we're expecting. Anyway, now that we got our media pick thing out of the way, let's get into WandaVision, because I am dying to. Spoiler alert, because every single aspect of the show will be probably randomly dropping major spoilers. So if you haven't watched it, move on. I thought we would start with, like, characters inside the Hex, and then we would concentrate on characters outside the Hex, because they're kind of two different, you know, sections of the show. And I wanted to start off with Wanda, obviously, also known as Scarlet Witch.
Oh my gosh.
First of all, I had not realized she was never declared the Scarlet Witch before this show, because when people talked about Marvel, I'm like, yeah, she's Scarlet Witch, and they always looked so confused. And then in that episode, I was like, oh, that's why people think I'm weird when I just randomly drop that information. But holy crap, I'm going to say this a lot throughout this episode. This show was basically just Marvel taking characters I thought I didn't care about and making them super interesting and complicated. And first of all, I loved, what episode was it where they showed her full childhood backstory? So good. Like, phenomenal, like, really made you care way more about the character than Age of Ultron ever did. I don't even know where to start. So where do you start on Wanda?
I guess I would start in the same place. The fact that Wanda was never one of my favorite characters, and just simply because I didn't know that much about her. I didn't feel like she was that important to a lot of the other Marvel movies that I had been watching. And suddenly this show turned her into one of my favorite characters, one of the most interesting Marvel characters, and one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, Marvel characters. So I feel like those are just the reasons this show blew me away.
For sure. I always felt like her powers were very undervalued in the franchise. Like, it was a little confusing how much they were undervalued. almost to the point when they introduced Captain Marvel, I was like, why don't we just focus more on established? I think it's good to establish more female characters, don't get me wrong, but you know what I mean? Like, we already had a really powerful character and we were just completely sidelining her for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so many people hated Wanda. I never hated Wanda. I just never cared that much about her.
Yeah, same.
And so many people absolutely hated her because of kind of her part she plays in Civil War. And I don't know, did you have that opinion at all? Because I don't even get why there was so much hate on her.
I had no, I definitely didn't hate her, but I just did not care about her. And that sounds really bad. And some Marvel fans would be like, what? But I mean, now I do, obviously, but I just did not care about her character that much. Because they gave backstory. They implied a little bit of things and you knew the backstory, but they never showed any of it and it never went into detail.
No. And her relationship with Vision was so weird and out of the blue that before WandaVision, I just thought it was the stupidest plot point in all the MCU.
I know, I was like, wait, how is this working? Like,
I'm not gonna lie, they still need to establish to me why an android can fall in love and why that's not, like, weird.
Yeah, that really confused me. And so, again, when I heard about WandaVision being a show, I was like, what? They exceeded my expectations a lot. By a lot.
So this was brought up to me by somebody, and it hadn't crossed my mind at all, but I want to see your perception of this from the finale. Like, they show her at the end credits scene, you know, like, studying, like, the text of the witches, whatever. Mm-hmm. And someone asked me, like, oh, so is she evil now? And I was instantly like, what? Yeah. Like, that question confused the hell out of me.
Someone asked me the exact same thing. Here's my take on it. Mm-hmm. She is not evil now. I think she proved in the last episode that she is not evil. I don't think that she's going to become the villain in future stories.
Mm-mm.
Simply because she had that moment in the last episode of WandaVision where she could have become the villain so easily. She almost killed those people and continued the hex, but she chose not to, and she sacrificed her family to save these other people. So to me, that does not scream evil, does not scream she's going to become evil anytime in the future. She is studying that text so that she can find her children again. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That may open up the multiverse, which might not be a good thing. Who knows? But I don't think it will be intended. I don't think she's intending harm on anyone.
Okay, thank you. Like, preaching, Bethy. Thank you for crying out loud. People who are saying that, I'm like, did we watch the same show? Like, first of all, she made the ultimate sacrifice, and no one really knows, like, the value of her sacrifice. It was really selfless. Like, everyone in their universe thinks she's, like, the villain. But in reality, you know, she made the ultimate sacrifice and now is, like, in hiding. So I just don't get how you could, like, come to that conclusion when you watched her, you know, make those decisions for the greater good at the sacrifice of not only her own family but her reputation. And, like, she has to be, like, in hiding now.
She gave up everything she wanted in life to save people. And to save all the people that she had harmed unknowingly in the Hex. That is not something a villain does.
God, no. Also, Elizabeth Olsen in this role, she's always been kind of... This is by far her best performance as Wanda. By, like, a million and one.
I agree. Her acting was really, really good. You can see how far. I feel like all throughout...
From Age of Ultron.
Yeah. I feel throughout all Marvel movies with all the actors, like, you can just watch their acting improve for most of them. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, really...
Dramatically.
Impressive. And I must admit, the first episode, I did not like her acting at all. And I think that was just because she was imitating the style of the 50s. And,
yeah, I feel that.
And so that threw me off. Again, like, the first three episodes, I was kind of like, I don't know how I feel about this show. And then I started to get obsessed.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to dive into this right now, but I feel very similarly about the first two episodes of the show.
Yeah.
I think they should have been one episode because it kind of threw off the full pacing of the show a little bit.
It did, because they were very slow episodes.
They almost, like, you could tell the differences in genre, like, from decade, but to a casual viewer, they almost seem like they're the same decade, same show, and, like, very little is changing.
Yes, I agree. That definitely threw me off. So once they started adding in your typical Marvel elements, I feel like it started to get more interesting, and the show's pacing started to make more sense.
I have a lot of, like, little detail stuff, so we can get into that more later. But let's get kind of into Vision, because he's also kind of part of her mind, it turned out.
Yeah.
I'm still a little bit confused about all the visions going around. I'm not gonna lie.
Me too. I think, sorry, if there's no, like, chronological order we're discussing this in, so I'm just going to jump right into where my confusion with Vision is.
Yeah, you're good.
So when he basically talks to the White Vision and gives him back his memories, I was thinking, oh, so this is basically like the old Vision is back, kind of, you know? And I was thinking, oh, he is going to realize that he was the Vision and he's going to go to Wanda. And it will be, like, kind of happy, kind of sad. Like, oh, you know? Like, I just assumed that would happen.
Yeah.
And then
he's
like, oh, I have my memories back. And he just, like, dips. He's just out of there. Like, where did he go? Where did he go? What? In my mind, Vision is still, like, alive. If the White Vision has his memories.
Yeah. 100%. That's when I'm confused. It's, like, it's new Vision, but it's also Vision, as he, like, said in his, like, philosophical thing. But I think what this could really get into some interesting territory with Marvel, though. I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has dove into this, but I don't watch that, so I don't know. But I think what would be super cool is we got to see more, and I know Age of Ultron, I guess this was the full theme of Age of Ultron. Like, having so much power, when is the limit to not do it?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, playing with human life that way, I guess he's not human, but playing with life that way, you know what I mean? I think that could be a really interesting storyline for them to touch on. It's like, that was really crossing a line to make a new Vision. Are they gonna, like, eliminate him? Like, put him offline? Is he just Vision now? Like, is the Vision still in the MCU? I think he is.
I just need to understand where that's gonna go, because right now it seems really unclear. The whole conflict of all of these things are, like, is he a weapon? Is he a person? You know?
Yeah,
is he both?
Exactly.
And it's just, like, it's really, I guess that's a major conflict. So it should be interesting to see what S.H.I.E.L.D. or S.W.O.R.D. or whatever does about the new Vision.
S.W.O.R.D.
What?
Sorry. What? That acronym.
They S.W.O.R.D. came out of nowhere, I feel like.
I'm just like, okay, you don't have to have that corny of an acronym. Okay. It's probably from the comics, though.
Yeah, I think it is.
Also, Paul Bettany was a total jackass with him being like, there's a major cameo no one's expecting, and then it was him. Like, unfair. I was so ready for Doctor Strange or Rhodey, or I had so many predictions of who it was going to be, and it was just him.
Yeah, that was disappointing, but at the same time, I think, I don't know, everyone had their expectations raised a little too high. And then by saying that, he made it worse. So everyone was like, Doctor Strange, like, Captain Marvel, they're all going to be in the last episode. No. This is not an Avengers movie.
True.
But, like, but I still was holding on hope for that, too. So
I was
can't blame
expecting
you.
The end credit scene to have... I wasn't disappointed with the end credit scenes, don't get me wrong. I think my hopes were just too high for the end credit scenes. Because they both established, like... something exciting that made you, like, excited for the future. But
yeah, oh, I love the end credit scenes. Everyone, not everyone, I've just seen people hating on the end credit scene, the first one, I think, with the scroll. I'm like, guys, do you realize, like, this is setting up for Captain Marvel 2, this is setting up for Monica to be a whole new superhero, and the scroll is probably referencing Nick Fury being there. Like, that's a cool end credit scene. I've seen way worse end credit scene in Marvel movies.
Right? Like, I've seen so many, like, unimportant. It's so weird, because Marvel, you can have a great end credit scene that's unimportant, like the Captain America Homecoming one.
Yeah.
But also, like, there's a fine line between, like, are you going to be completely comical? I think part of the reason people are hating on it is there were so many theories floating around this show because of how the structure of it being released, that I think people just got really disappointed when none of those came through.
Yeah.
But I kind of love that none of them came through. I'm sorry.
Because then it wasn't what we expected.
Exactly. I don't want everything in Marvel to be, like, predictable through the comics. And, like, if you read enough stuff online, you can know how it's going to end.
And the comics...
It's not as fun.
I haven't really read much, but they're good on their own. They can be their separate thing. Yes, they're...
Exactly.
It needs to connect to a certain extent. But if they're the exact same thing, then it's not going to be interesting.
Well, and they're different formats, and... The movies have always just been, like, inspiring and, like, taking bits and pieces from a bunch of them.
Exactly.
They have never even been from, like, one series of books. They're always taking them from all over the place. To get back on Vision.
Yeah, I just realized we got sidetracked.
There is something I wanted to say about Vision that was important. And it wasn't, I have in my notes, baby Vision. And it wasn't just that. But, oh my gosh, that was the... funniest bit I've ever seen in Marvel was the baby Vision and, like, the Full House opening, basically.
I love how you put in your full notes, baby style. Vision.
I did with an exclamation point.
Baby Vision was adorable and kind of creepy.
That's why it's beautiful. Like,
and the fact that there never was a baby Vision.
Exactly! Makes it so much funnier.
Oh my gosh.
I went back and watched the song after the episode and just, like, laughed again for, like, 3 minutes like a creep.
It was just so good. I really appreciated all of, like, the theme songs at the beginning.
There's just so many good details about this, but I have a lot I want to say about the format of TV all in one section, so I'm going to, like, hold myself back a little bit. But I think we can move on from Vision, because we basically, like a lot of these characters... We're almost more confused about... I am way more confused about Vision than at the beginning of the show. Because at the beginning of the show, we're like, he's dead.
Yeah. But now it's like, what? What is he?
Let's move on to the villain of the story, if you're good with that. Agatha.
It was Agatha all along. What a good song.
Holy crap. That was the best sequence in the show by far.
Yeah. And... I want to ask you this before we dive into Agatha. Did you see it coming?
Okay, everyone I know was like, it was so obvious. And I almost feel stupid because I didn't.
Really? I'm not trying to make you feel stupid, but I kind of saw it coming. Mm-hmm. She seemed a little sketch. The first couple of episodes...
I saw elements, don't get me wrong. But I wasn't expecting her to be the villain.
Yeah, I can see that. Because... The first couple of episodes, she just seemed like, you know, like a normal character. After that, she started acting kind of weird. And then by the end, when it turned out she was the villain and she was battling Wanda, I was not expecting that fully. I thought that maybe she would be kind of like a good villain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a Loki type character. I thought maybe she was going to... They were going to throw us for a loop and be like, oh.
I was kind of expecting that in the last episode, too.
Agatha's the villain, like, make us think she's a villain, but it's actually, like, White Vision and Hayward and stuff. And instead, they were, like, both.
Both. No, I completely thought it was going to, you haven't seen the new Wonder Woman movie, but I thought she was going to play a very similar role to one of the villains in that movie. Mm-hmm. But I do like how we didn't kill the major villain, which is improvement for Marvel. You know, we always do that. So we have, like, so we have literally, like, 20 movies could spawn off of this thing.
Yeah. I keep looking at all of the future content that's supposed to come out within, like, even the next 2 years for Marvel. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to think all that could happen in that, in those movies. And how much is going to connect to WandaVision, you know?
And I just gotta say, like, we had a year off, basically, for Marvel content. When was the last Marvel content we had before this?
Was it really Endgame? It can't have been.
Was it Far From Home?
It was Far From Home, yeah.
Jeez. That's weird. That's like a year and a half ago. I enjoyed Far From Home more than most people, because Spider-Man's my guilty pleasure. Mm-hmm. But after, because we had such a long time frame, I was, like, kind of over Marvel. I was... thinking all the stuff they were throwing at us, all the stuff seems so lame. And especially this show, I'm like, there's no way, like, they don't have enough setup for me anymore for me to be invested. I feel completely 180 after watching this thing.
Yeah, I was definitely, I wasn't like sick of Marvel or anything, but I was just like out of my obsession with it for a while. Yeah, wasn't really like focused on anything Marvel related. And then I started binging Marvel movies with my friends and then WandaVision came out and now I'm like fully back into my Marvel phase and it's kind of great.
Okay, I have a question. Is there any, because I can't think of any, so I'm setting this up, I realized I was setting it up like I was thinking of something. Do you see any potential, like, her coming, Agatha coming back in any of the upcoming Marvel movies?
I really don't know. Because the fact, like,
the most obvious is Doctor Strange, obviously.
Yeah, I think they're going to need her in the future somehow. The fact that they didn't kill her off says that for sure she's going to be in more movies. Yeah, I feel like it could be a type of situation where they need her for her powers or something like that. But
in her knowledge, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because the fact that Wanda was studying, like, the same stuff she was, it could be taken as either, like, they don't need her or, like, she's gonna have a lot more questions.
Yeah.
The more she learns. And she's, like, the only established witch besides Wanda, I guess. It's weird to say that there's witches in Marvel now, but I feel like she's definitely going to be a powerful source of knowledge. And the Doctor Strange movies kind of have that theme to them about like the history behind stuff. So I definitely think she's going to play a huge part in that movie.
Just for one second, this is a little bit going back a little bit. But since we're talking about witches and how that's kind of a new thing for Marvel.
Yeah.
I think I saw some TikTok about this or something. But do you remember how in Far From Home, the teachers are all really paranoid about witches? And and it seems really weird. They're like, oh no, the witches are back.
Because this is set before Far From Home.
And I'm loving that this whole new element was introduced before we even knew it. We were all just confused why these teachers were so weird.
I thought it was, like, supposed to be, like, over the top, like, calling Thor and stuff witches. Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was great. Marvel really thinks of everything, don't they?
Wow, yeah, because I thought it wasn't really that obvious that Far From Home was set after this. But they had established that. That's so cool. Wow, sorry.
Sorry, that was a little bit sidetracking, but I thought it was an interesting bit.
What's interesting, like, one of their problems when you establish something this complicated and spread out, and then you introduce a character like Agatha, who's apparently been around since the Salem witch trials, your initial is like, okay, where the F has this lady been?
Yeah. I want to know what she's been doing all of these years. How, because she's a witch. I'm assuming that has to do with something of why she can live so long. But does that mean Wanda can live really long,
without
too?
Aging.
It seemed like they tried to make her age a little bit. It seemed like in the first Salem witch scene with Agatha, she looked younger. But I really don't know. Age is slower.
Pulled some version of Captain America, not necessarily being iced. But I feel like there might be something in, like, the recklessness of, like, people going away and then coming back, like, everything, like, being, like, a complete mess where, like, someone was able to, like, revive her or something.
Yeah. It seems strange when you think about it that her character wouldn't have been introduced earlier in the MCU. Just because she noticed Wanda's power on such a big scale, but because she could, like, sense it, apparently. But then what about Doctor Strange and all of this stuff happening in Endgame and Infinity War?
Yeah, like, could that have been helpful? She was dusted, though, so Wanda was.
Wanda, yeah.
They always kind of hid Wanda under the covers, though, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because she was the Avenger that was kind of a PR issue, so that could play into it.
That could. That's a good point.
Kind of switching gears now, because we can't talk forever. Pietro, our Pietro, the fake Pietro. I want to know your thoughts on if he's actually a random dude.
I'm so confused. Yeah. Why Marvel would choose the other actor of Pietro, I guess, to be in this playing a fake Pietro. Yeah. Like, that just, Why did they do that it weren't for some reason?
This could me be getting too excited about, like, a multiverse existing, but there is no way on Earth that that character is not important. That he's a random dude.
Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
Why pay that actor that much? No. Why establish that? Like, there's just no way, in my opinion.
I totally agree. That's why I was confused. They knew they were going to, like, get everyone excited for this, too. Mm-hmm. Like, this was going to, like, cause everyone to be... They knew what they were doing. So it has to be for some reason.
I feel like Pietro is going to play into the Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire popping up in Far From Home. I feel like him existing in this universe plays into somehow them also showing up in Spider-Man and somehow the multiverse being established.
I'm so skeptical the other Spider-Men are going to show up as mm-hmm. the other Spider
as their character, yeah, like reprising Peter Parker.
I just don't think Marvel's going to do that. I don't know why. I don't think they're going to do that.
I know. I am a little bit like, because it almost seems established by how much has been leaked with casting, but also Marvel, like, people thought they had this show figured out and no one really did.
Yeah.
So now, you know, the finale of WandaVision in a way was like, okay, now I don't know if they're going to show up mm-hmm. because before I was like, they're bringing in Pietro, but I don't know. I still feel like
it's happening because of what they did with Pietro at the end where they make you confused if he's just a random guy. I think that's what made me more skeptical about the whole Spider-Man
thing. But why does Pietro still have his powers, like, in the Hex?
Yeah.
But everything, like, you could write it off as everything contributing to Wanda's mind. But that does seem a little... Because, like, none of the other people have powers that aren't established superheroes.
He did seem to know what was going on throughout it. Yeah. He was fully aware, almost.
He definitely had, like, weird inside knowledge of, like, a superhero world, mm-hmm. you know? And, like, the weird things that play into being a superhero.
Yeah, something is off there. He's not a random person. Mm-hmm. I know that's for sure.
No, he's definitely not a random person. Last people of inside the Hex, and then we can move outside the Hex, and that is the twins. And, oh my gosh, the twins!
I'm gonna cry.
Another character you weren't expecting to, like, get attached to. They added so much emotional depth to the story, and there was just so many times, like, seeing Wanda and Vision as parents made the story so much more powerful and their decisions so much more, like, influential.
Okay, I love that the twins were introduced in this show. Number mm-hmm. one, they're adorable. Number two, like said, WandaVision and Vision's relationship is, like, improved and, like, makes more sense to the viewers because of them. And three, two new superheroes have been introduced to the MCU that have been in the comics before. And mm-hmm. I know for a fact that they're not gone forever. Yes,
there's no way they are.
I was really upset with the ending and it was, like, making me sad and, like, you know, but I don't think they're gone. Wanda's going to get them back somehow. And yeah, it just doesn't make sense why they would be gone forever.
Yeah. And this is me just, I keep projecting things I want to see from Marvel into the universe.
Yeah.
But how cool would it be if, I feel like we're establishing a lot of characters that are younger.
Yeah.
That are going to, like, age into Marvel, mm-hmm. which is such a cool concept to me. Like, I feel like we might recast them and see them older mm-hmm. in the MCU. But their powers are also so freaking cool. Even though they seem like powers we've seen a million times in Marvel, they still seem unique. Mm-hmm. But, like, in hints of their parents. And they were so, I don't know, I loved them.
Me too. I have a question that's been bothering me that's somewhat mm-hmm. related to this that I just thought of. So it seems weird that when Wanda makes the hex, it's the entire mm-hmm. town, you know? And when it's coming down, like, she's taking it back or whatever.
Yeah.
You see it, like, slowly, slowly reaching their house. And I'm just thinking, why couldn't Wanda just make the hex smaller just to include her house? Or just to... Or why could... I know she's... If she's powerful enough to make it so big, like, why couldn't she just have a small one that doesn't influence anyone else with the people she literally just created with her magic? It's not harming anyone. Why couldn't she just do that? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Or am I stupid? You raise a really good point, because I don't really understand that either. Because
I was trying to think of ways that she could have saved her children and mm-hmm. Vision. And to me, that's what I just thought would happen. Like, it seemed obvious.
I don't know. I feel like we might get an answer to that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because when I watched it, that I kept thinking, okay, why don't you just make it, like, surround your house?
Yeah.
But is it, like, doesn't want her kids? Like, now that she knows how much of it is projected in her mind, is it gone? Mm. You know, the magic of it gone? Is the magic of being with Vision, who she now realizes how much of it was conformed in her mind, that version of Vision?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or also, maybe she didn't want... Or she knew people would still be after her because of what happened, and she needed to get away.
Maybe she knew, like, all the problems that the Hex led to.
Yeah.
I also feel like maybe she knows that, like, she needs to figure out more about her own magic.
Yeah.
And she can't, like, live in denial. I feel like that's part of it.
Yeah. I think, yeah, these are all good points. It seems like you just wish she could have made a smaller world for herself and been happy, but she couldn't. Yeah. She couldn't live in denial for the rest of her life, and that would have been really... That makes sense.
A little insane. Yeah, also, though, when, like, the Hex came down, obviously, like, they meant that, like, Agatha's remaining in her character as mm-hmm. a nosy neighbor. But when it was coming down, I'm like, wouldn't that make her, like, not be her anymore?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. I'm guessing Wanda is just able to control that from whatever distance.
Whenever. Probably. I mean, if she was able to make the Hex, she can probably make one person be...
Still,
la, la, la.
Yeah. I think that makes more sense to me. But it's still... Yeah. I was also wondering that.
All right. So let's go to outside the Hex, are characters that were, like, in 5 seconds of a different Marvel movie and ended up being very lovable.
These are my favorite characters, not gonna lie.
For real, though. I was not expecting to like any of them that much. And then all of them, I'm now, like, ride or die for these random characters.
Can we talk about the most important character? Jimmy Woo.
Oh my gosh, we stan a Jimmy Woo.
I always loved him in Ant-Man. I love him even more. He's so iconic.
Right? Oh my gosh, how they established him in this show was one of the best things character development Marvel has ever done. Better than Tony Stark. The little name tag magic trick.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
I just, so his good. Character was the perfect comedic relief, but also he's a really lovable character. And definitely,
he's very supportive and, like, the ideal man.
Yeah, I would fall in love with Jimmy Woo if I were in the Marvel universe, honestly.
He stands up for what's right. He's funny. Has a thing for close-up magic. Sleight of hand.
I really loved that they included his character in again. They made sure to not miss an opportunity to include a good character.
Honestly, I don't really have much to say about him besides the fact that I love him.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to show up in more Marvel stuff. I don't know what. There are so many interesting things he could show up in now, though. That would just... Now, he is now a character that when he shows up, I'm going to be like, yes.
Yeah. It's just going to be one of those characters you get excited about when they show up. Like, one. I feel like he's an equivalent of, like, Happy. When Happy shows up in Marvel movies.
Very similar to Happy.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought he needed to be discussed first.
He does. I mean, place of honor. Now, let's talk about Monica Rambeau.
Yes, the actual coolest of the people outside the Hex.
I couldn't remember if we... No, we didn't have a podcast when Captain Marvel came out. That was way before. Because I wanted to be like, go back and listen. And like, I predicted that she would be important. And then I realized it was just us casually talking where I predicted this.
Yeah.
But I'm like, that movie was set in the 90s. That scene had a lot of emotional depth. I remember talking about this with you. I'm like, she's going to be an established, important character later on.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, I was right. Just tooting my own horn.
No, you were right. And I'm so glad you were right. Because... Yeah. I think she has a really cool origin story, and they did it in a really good way. I think a lot of people, like, we need more female Marvel characters, and so I'm always very excited to see that. And a lot of people hate on Captain Marvel, which makes it really hard when you're like me. I personally like Captain Marvel, and I like seeing this female representation. So it's really hard seeing people hate on her. And it's mainly because they feel like her origin story was stupid, and like she became too powerful too fast, and she's too cocky and stuff. And Marvel really just, I guess they realized their mistake. I never had these problems that much with Captain Marvel, but a lot of people did. By making Monica's origin, like, it made more sense, and it played out slowly, and it still has yet to play out. So I think, I don't know, it's just going to be really interesting to see.
Yeah, Monica definitely has, like, way better of an origin story than Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm. It's just more realistic.
And you feel a lot more connected to her, I feel like. Because I'm one of those people who I don't love the movie Captain Marvel, but I like her character. Mm-hmm. But I don't love that movie, if that makes any sense. Even though that's basically the only time we've seen her.
Yeah, I don't love the movie, but I don't hate it.
Of how that movie was structured, I didn't love.
Yeah. And at the beginning of Captain Marvel, she's powerful too. So it's less interesting. Mm-hmm. Whereas at the beginning of this, Monica is just, I guess, your normal person. I don't know. It's more interesting to see your normal person become a superhero, you know?
No, because it completely came out of, like, her being deserving of it, too. It was kind of like a Captain America moment.
Yeah, it definitely was.
She didn't realize what she was getting into.
She did this because she cared so much about saving Wanda and making sure no one...
And, like, she's deserving of it and, like, established that.
And she worked hard to... I guess just do everything she was doing. And I don't know, it's great. And also that scene where she steps in front of the boys when they're being shot at. Oh, she did not know that the bullets would go through her. She was willing to sacrifice herself for those kids.
Random people.
Who technically don't even exist.
Yeah. Gosh.
That just, to me, already her character is like one of my favorites. I love that scene.
She had so many great moments where she established herself too. Like, the more you think about it, gosh.
I'm so glad they introduced her character.
And I was not expecting her to get powers at all. And at first I wasn't that into it. And then, like, she established why she was a cool person to have powers. And I'm like, yes, hell yes, let's do this.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the bigger plot twists of the show that I was not expecting. Mm-hmm.
Okay, one thing I want to touch on, I'm a little annoyed they killed her mother.
Yeah, that seemed like... Anyway, share your opinions.
Well, that relationship, her Captain Marvel and her mother, everyone online basically had, you know, theorized that they were in a relationship, you know, not just friends. To the point where, like... Brie Larson had retweeted, like, theories about that, and, like, Marvel had kept saying they already had an established, like, LGBTQ character, and then they, like, killed half of the relationship of the, like, person everyone assumed it was. It just kind of bugged me.
Yeah, to be honest, when I rewatched Captain Marvel, I was like, wait, like, Captain Marvel... and Maria should be in a relationship. Like,
yeah.
It seems obvious. Like, it seems like the perfect choice for Marvel if they want to introduce diverse relationships, I guess you could say, in their movies. And so I was also kind of upset that they seemingly skipped over all of that possibility. Mm-hmm. But I think what we could see potentially is... backstory, because there's a lot of time that passed that we don't know what happened. It seemed like at a point Monica was really upset with Captain Marvel, and I think it could have to do with something to do with that, like the fact that she wasn't there when her mother died, and maybe their mother, maybe they had something more to get with each other, you know, than just a friendship. And I don't know. Something there seems like there's still a chance, but that might just be me holding out.
Yeah, this is definitely us holding out a little bit, but it's, the more you talk about it, it's not Because I felt kind of like saying Dumbledore is gay after Dumbledore died in the Harry Potter book.
Yeah.
But this is kind of the beginning of Captain Marvel in the MCU. So I feel like it's not completely fair to make those assumptions.
Yeah, I think there's still opportunity for backstory between those two. Mm-hmm. Or future other things. Relationships. Yeah. So I'm not going to be upset about that yet. I will be eventually, but not
eventually.
Yet.
Eventually. Another podcast.
Yeah.
All right. The last of the trio, we had Darcy, who, let me tell you, when she popped up, I groaned. I'm like, really? Oh, crap. They are bringing in a character from one of the worst Marvel movies, and I wasn't a huge fan of her in the Thor movies. I'm sorry. I thought she felt too quirky in the Thor movies, like too over-the-top pixie dream girl, like, I'm quirky in science, and, like, I loved her in this. I was wrong, but when I first saw her, I was not a fan.
I recently watched the Thor movies. I had never watched mm-hmm. them before. And, like, yeah, I don't like the Thor movies that much, but I liked her character. But maybe that's because I was simultaneously watching WandaVision, so I already like, you know, seen her in WandaVision, but I love Darcy. I think, I don't know, I just like that. Again, in this show, they were including characters from other movies, and it just made it that much more interesting.
No, it was just one of those moments that, like, Marvel just proved me wrong, you know? They gave me a character, I was like, great. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I love her.
Yeah.
Like, she was one of my favorite parts of the first two Thor movies. I just really hate those two movies. So seeing anything associated with it instantly got me skeptical.
Yeah, in a way, I feel like WandaVision kind of fixed some mistakes of previous
and
movies.
Endgame kind of fixed some mistakes too. Like, they've almost made those movies, like, seem important, and even though I keep telling myself they're not.
No, it's really interesting to see all of the things that are seemingly unimportant become really important, and it's just really cool.
Before we get into, like, the formatting, is there any other characters we haven't touched on?
I was gonna talk about Hayward, but he seems like your classic Marvel stupid. Not really, like, he's not like a powerful villain, he's just the bad guy behind the desk, mm-hmm. you know? So there's not much to say about him, I feel like.
I do wanna say that towards the beginning of the sequences outside the TV show, you know, like the Hex, there were times where, like, that section kind of felt like a typical ABC television show.
Yeah.
Like, that was when it felt the least cinematic to me,
mm-hmm.
was some of those sequences. It felt kind of more like a cheap drama. Like, it ended up, coming around. It was, like, one or two episodes that felt that way, but you know what I mean?
No, I totally agree. I feel like it had a lot to do with just the setting and the kind of tone the mm-hmm. story was taking. But they definitely worked past that, thankfully.
Yeah, 100%. All right, I want to talk about, like, the formatting of the show mm-hmm. and just, like, the sitcom stuff. Because, as you know, I am a massive sitcom enthusiast, nerd. I actually, before I was super into movies, my thing was sitcoms. And, like, I Love Lucy, Dick Van Dyke, all of the shows that were, like, established mm-hmm. here, I grew up watching like Wanda did. So that sequence of her, like, finding emotional comfort in them was so powerful and relatable. This isn't where I was wanting to go with the statement, but I'm here. But, like, I feel like that was so powerful when they established in her backstory, like, why she was emulating a sitcom. Because I, at least, and I think everyone can look back at a time in their life, especially as someone who was also obsessed with sitcoms. But, like, when I was in seventh grade, you know, I did something very similar, less traumatic of a situation, but, like, completely going into Rills, like we go into Marvel, mm-hmm. as a complete distraction from our own. And just, like, in a sitcom, everything ends in 22 minutes in a happy way. It was just so relatable, and it just made the full concept of the sitcom just genius to me.
Yeah, I think before I had seen the show, I was kind of confused about the reason it was a sitcom, and I still thought it was really interesting and intriguing, mm-hmm. but once you get that backstory, it suddenly becomes so relatable. Again, like you said, and a way less traumatic way than for Wanda. But it is relatable because I feel like, especially our generation, like, TV becomes an escape, and Marvel movies exactly sometimes serve that same purpose as the sitcom served for Wanda. And I'm very glad they brought in that detail, or else it would have been really confusing. And I mean, it was,
and it made it so powerful too.
Yeah, and they made it meaningful. So yeah.
Another thing is when they announced that they were doing shows, I really thought they were just gonna feel like long movies. I was, you know, I wasn't really expecting them to feel like TV shows at all.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate the fact that they completely, like, you could tell it was made by people who love television, who love the fundamentals of television. Like, they took all the fundamental core things of television that makes the genre good and unique, and they really embraced it. And I really appreciate that. I really appreciate how they had one episode come out a week, because I think that is a part of television we are, like, sadly getting rid of, because, you know, it's a different medium and you tell stories differently through it. And I really appreciated all the little efforts they made to include the efforts of the new medium. They weren't just simply, it's Marvel, but it's on Disney Plus now.
I, at first, was really mad that it came out once every week because, you know, I just want to know what happens. But when you put it like that, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm really glad that I got to savor it instead of just binging it, you know? And I feel like a lot of fans had better discussions about it because of that. The hype didn't die out after 1 week. The hype lasted multiple weeks, and people got to theorize and stuff, and it felt like almost a new movie coming out each week, you know?
Yeah, it was. I think it's so much more fun, and honestly, it's kind of frustrating sometimes because I don't ever have the time to sit down and watch a full series in a day, and then things like Stranger Things, I can't even contribute to the conversation until I finish it.
Yeah.
And, like, you have to avoid being on the internet until you finish it.
Exactly.
And I liked how we were just, like, collectively, it felt like that series between Infinity War and Endgame, where we were just, like, all over the place theorizing everything. And we got to do that every week. And it was just great.
It was great.
And, yeah, like you, I was very frustrated every time we saw the stupid "please stand by." I sometimes literally screamed.
With the 7-minute credit scenes.
Oh, why were they 7 minutes? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
That got really annoying. Because then every time you were, like, seeing how much was left, you'd have to, like, calculate it.
I know. Because it really threw me for a loop when it said 40 minutes, but it was really more like 30.
Because you'd get excited, like, oh, it's a long one. No, it's not. Continuing on how, like, they embrace the genre, the camera work, oh my gosh, I loved this so much, because it was one of those things you don't notice that much, and it really just, like, called it out to your face, like, screamed it at you, especially, like, the Modern Family style episode. It just, like, felt, like, so nostalgic for me, because that was the decade I grew up in, you know, like, that was the comedy I grew up watching.
Yeah.
And so, like, it was so good. I just keep saying that, but I just love how they did that. Like, there was just so much attention to detail about, and it makes you, like, think back on how television has morphed and changed. And
I think it would have been so difficult to do this, and yet they did it successfully. The fact that they had to switch genres every episode would be really, really hard.
And, like, the acting styles changed dramatically, and they, like, showed that, and
then by the end, it was, like, acting as if they were in a typical Marvel movie, and so that's just a whole range of acting.
It was more the genre of, like, the dramas we know now. It, like, transitioned completely. It was cool. The theme songs were all great. I think we established that.
Yeah.
What was your favorite theme?
I think I'd have to say the first one, the classic.
I love that one.
WandaVision. Yeah. Just because it's catchy. It stayed in my head.
But that one is the best by far.
I thought the one that seemed like The Office, basically, was funny just because it seemed so blatantly like The Office theme song.
It was just funny because it was calling out, like, the different styles so much. And I kept thinking, how are they even going to do, like, an opening sequence? Like, they're completely different now. And it was, when you saw it, you're like, yep, that's what they are now. It was like title card, title card, title card. Like, Modern Family opening sequence, The Office, Arrested Development opening sequence. Like, once you saw it, you're like, yo, duh.
Yeah, exactly.
To wrap up a bit, I have a couple questions. Do you think the episode of the finale was titled Series Finale?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this is actually the series finale, or do you think we're going to have more seasons of WandaVision?
I think it's actually the series finale. I think that enough will be happening in future Marvel movies that they will not be able to have a second season.
Fair.
And the fact that it had such a particular format, they obviously can't do the same thing again. So then it doesn't make as much sense for it to be a TV show again.
It really depends on what happens in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because if there's more of this show, which they definitely established enough for there to be, it would definitely be a completely different show. And I think Wanda might be one of the few characters that comes back. So I think we might get, I don't know.
Yeah, like, if there is another season, it's going to be completely different.
Mm-hmm, completely. Like, the format is not going to be anything similar, obviously, because it can't be.
Yeah.
Hmm. You see, I was much more confident that I thought they were going to, because, like, Kevin Feige's kind of dropping, like, hints. But Marvel just loves to drop stuff to make us talk, so I don't really know.
Who knows?
I think it's way too early to know.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you a question regarding it being watchable. Because, obviously, us Marvel fans, over the moon, one of the best pieces to come out of the MCU. But do you think it is too inaccessible for people who aren't Marvel fans? And do you think that matters?
I actually had an interesting conversation with my mom about this. Because she has seen ads for it. And she was like, should I watch WandaVision? And my mom has never once talked about watching a Marvel thing ever. And I think it's because of, like we were talking about, the whole format of it being like old sitcoms. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves old sitcoms, you know? My mom would watch it just for that aspect of it. And I think even though she doesn't know anything about Marvel, she would still be really interested to see what happens next. So yeah, I think it's watchable for other audiences too. Yeah, some things might be confusing, but it could be a good way to get a lot of more casual viewers interested in Marvel, especially since the episodes are short.
That's a good point about like a new format, bringing in a new audience, because I hadn't really thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think people who aren't into Marvel would enjoy it, but I think they will definitely have a lot of huge questions and confusion, especially if you don't know much about Vision. This is going to be hard to understand.
Yeah, it'd be hard to understand. I think that people could still enjoy it. I definitely don't think they would understand certain aspects or maybe feel so emotional about certain aspects.
Yeah. I think you really only need to see like Age of Ultron. Like if you are one of the people who just watched the Avengers movies, which I think they realize is a big part of their fans, this is easily understandable. That's all you really need, because that's the only ones they really pop up in. But I don't really think it matters that much if it's not that accessible to people who aren't Marvel fans, because Marvel's the biggest fandom in the world right now. Like one of the biggest, I think. I'm not sure if it's actually the biggest.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, there sometimes you need to make content for a specific group of people. And I think they did that well.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to serve those people. And I think that is the fundamental group you should be appealing to. So I don't think it matters as much if it doesn't appeal to your fans, because you have enough fans and your fans want a particular thing. You should be serving to them.
Yeah.
That makes any sense.
No, that makes complete sense.
I think that is everything I need to cover.
I think same here.
We are just at an hour. This is the longest one we've done in a while. Jeez.
Yeah.
Next week, we're either going to be doing one with my friend Christy about Marvel, like relationships in Marvel, or we're going to do one with you about our favorite female characters for Women's History Month.
Sounds good.
So either one, we'll see how Bethy's schedule turns out. And everyone's schedule, but one of those two will be popping up, so stick around for that. And thanks for listening to this episode of Watchable.
This podcast is edited by Sophia. Our music is from purpleplanet.com, and our graphic is by Maria Hernandez.
If you enjoy listening, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out.
Have an idea on what we should review next? Send us a message at Instagram, Twitter, or Tumblr at Watchable Media.
Join us next time when we discuss characters.
Now go enjoy your day.